Do we have a book? I have a Hare Krishna. I'm going to start by reciting the Srimad Bhagavat Mahima Stotram prayers. It's Srila Sanatana Goswami's glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we're going to dive into Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 21. Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhantaratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kalidvantodita Ditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali, you are the exact image of Shri Krishna. Paramanandapathaya Premavarshyakshirayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madikabhando matsangin madguro madmahadana madnistaraka madbhagya madananda namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadu saduta dayin atinis chostitakara hanamuncha kadachin mam premna hrikantayosvara. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear my heart and voice with pure love. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 21. Please repeat. Imam lokam amum cha eva ramayan sutaram yadun reme kshanadaya data kshana stri kshana sauridaha imam lokam amum chaiva Ramayan Sutaram Yadun Remek Shanadaya Data Shana Streak Shana Sohidaha Imam Lokam Amum Chaiva Ramayan Sutaram Yadun Remek Shanadaya Data Kshana Stri Kshana Sohridaha Imam Lokam Amum Chaiva Ramayan Sutaram Yadun Remek Kshana Dayadata Kshana Stri Kshana Sohridaha Vaishnavis, please. Imam this, lokam earth, amum and the other worlds, cha also, eva certainly, ramayan pleasing, sutaram specifically, yadun the yadus, reme enjoyed. Kshanadaya, by night. Data, given by. Kshana, leisure. Stri, with women. Kshana, conjugal love. Sauridaha, friendship. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes both in this world and in other worlds, higher planets, specifically in the association of the Yadu dynasty. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women. Please repeat, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes both in this world and in other worlds, higher planets, specifically in the association of the Yadu dynasty. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women. Purport. The Lord enjoyed in this world with his pure devotees. Although he is the personality of Godhead and is transcendental to all material attachment, he nevertheless exhibited much attachment for his pure devotees on the earth, as well as for the demigods who engage in his service in the heavenly planets as powerful delegated directors in the management of all material activities. He displayed special attachment for his family members, the Yadus, as well as for his 16,000 wives who had the opportunity to meet him in the leisure hours of night. All these attachments of the Lord are manifestations of his internal potency, of which the external potency is only a shadow representation. In the Skanda Purana, Prabhas Kund, in the topics between Lord Shiva and Gaudi, there is confirmation of his internal potential manifestations. There is mention of the Lord's meeting with 16,000 cowherd damsels, although he is the Hungsa, transcendental supersoul, and maintainer of all living entities. The 16,000 cowherd damsels are a display of 16 varieties of internal potencies. This will be more elaborately explained in the 10th canto. It is said there that Lord Krishna is just like the moon, and the internal potential damsels are like the stars around the moon. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatang Sahagana Raganathan Vitangtang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakopa Turubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'd like to start by just asking the blessings of all the devotees, especially all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples, that I can speak something enlivening and in line with the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta as passed down to us by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So, in Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, we're told that there's five basic topics. The Ishvara, the Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. That's the Lord, the Jiva souls, us, material nature. Kala is time, and karma is all the activities going on in the material world. And we learn about every topic individually, but also how they work together and how everything comes together and works. So the very first instruction after Arjuna, very exemplarily, in a very exemplarily way, take shelter of Lord Krishna, and their relationship goes from cousin brothers to guru and disciple. Then Krishna begins to instruct them. And first thing he tells them is, you're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. You know, wise man does not lament for neither the living nor the dead. And then he says, Natevaham jatu nasam natuneme jnani pahana chayvana bhavishyama sarve vayam ataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. And so the first thing he tells him is, you're eternal, and I'm eternal. You know, there is more than just this temporary situation. And then he explains to him how he's the soul. Dehino smin yata dehe komaram yavanam jada. And I was thinking about this because my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Keshava Bharati Goswami Maharaj, he encourages all of us to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And he told me to read the Gita, and I read the Gita as much as I could. And when I finished reading the Bhagavad Gita, he asked me if I had any realizations. And all I could say was, well, it was like the bliss of you're not your body. And he said, exactly. And I personally tried to meditate on just this first basic point that Krishna instructs, that we're not the body and that we're the soul. And actually tried to realize the profundity of just this first instruction. And I wanted to share a personal experience I had. I used to live with my grandmother for many years. We were pretty close. I lived with her whenever I moved out of her house and moved into the temple. And I was living as a brahmachari for about 6 years, and she was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And she seemed fine. She wasn't like showing sick, like signs of being sickly or anything. But in one day, she went from being fine to on her deathbed. And I got a call and I had to go. And I saw her go from, you know, really quickly from being awake to just the final stages just before death. And they took her to a hospice and everything. So I was Srila Prabhupada's pujari at the Palace of Gold in New Vrindavan. And I had to get Srila Prabhupada his dinner and put Prabhupada to rest and everything. And then I went back and I brought my harmonium. I had small Gaurini Thai deities and Srimad Bhagavatam, Ganga Jal and Tulsi leaves and neck beads. And I went because I knew she was going to leave her body. And basically, I read Bhagavatam for a little while, and her husband left, and it was just her and I. And I chanted on the harmonium all night long, and I was just chanting Prabhupada's melody. And she was, since early in the afternoon, in the state that we read in Bhagavatam. Actually, I was reading the section at that time in Canto 3, you know, whenever it's explained what it's like to die, especially particularly for a materially attached person. And she was in those stages. So I went and was chanting, and she was in a state they called terminal restlessness. And basically, she was she couldn't move or respond, and every breath she took was like this agonizing, groaning sound. It was really intense. And actually, all of the nurses said, we never really saw anything like this before. It was kind of brutal. So I was sitting there chanting with her all night like that. She couldn't move the whole time. And I was just chanting Prabhupada's melody over and over again, most sincerely I could and attentive as I could. And this noise she was making started kind of matching with the Maha Mantra. And I was thinking, I know from what I hear in Bhagavatam, what I perceive is she's conscious, she's still there, but, you know, she can't really respond. I knew, you know, I was thinking maybe she's like really chanting because, you know, it's just Maha Mantra overload. She has no option but to hear Maha Mantra. Maybe she's chanting. And then a nurse came in and said, you know, your singing is really beautiful. I think she's chanting with you. That's what the nurse said. And I thought, wow, you know, Krishna's kind of like confirming. So I just kept chanting. In the middle of the night, it was probably 1:30 or 2 a.m. She hadn't been able to move or anything for over 12 hours. She couldn't do anything. And, you know, it was like every breath was like maybe this was the last one. And then in the middle of the chanting, she like leaped up. She leaped up and she looked at me. And I could see in her eyes was this look. And what I could see was it was like, whoa, like, what is that? Like, whoa. She was like, whoa. And then she went back down and was back where she was, just in the middle of the night, down for hours. And I basically, I just could perceive that I believe that she experienced at least a moment of not being on the bodily platform. She, like, somehow I think she was chanting and hearing the Maha Mantra, and she just was able to, for a moment, experience. And she looked like she was completely blissed out. And it was really something spectacular. So that really struck me when I saw that. I thought, this is a real faith builder. And so I think about, you're not the body. And I think, how far on the spiritual platform am I? How much am I actually in transcendental spiritual consciousness? And then we hear how important it is actually to inquire. You know, Tato Brahma Jigyasa, therefore you inquire. Because you have the human form of life, you should inquire and hear submissively. I wanted to read a little section of a purport in Bhagavatam I read in daily reading the other day. This is just a small section of the purport from 1-2-32. Prabhupada said, "Therefore one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only, and thus divine existence is gradually realized. The difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot." So that really struck me. You know, Prabhupada's explaining that the difference between a human and an animal is their ability to hear. And it doesn't just mean, obviously, hearing some noise, but it means submissive oral reception of the transcendental sound vibration and hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. And to the degree that we can do that is actually the degree of how much advancement we're making and how much we're relishing and how much eagerness we have to hear. There's a book by Shivaram Maharaj, the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. It's the introduction to a series that he wrote, the Krishna and Vrindavan series. And he wrote this introductory book. And basically the whole book is explaining how different quality and levels of hearing represents different levels of advancement in devotees. So I was just reflecting and appreciating how important it is, just this basic first instruction of you're not your body, and how serious it's meant to be taken. It's Krishna's first instructions, therefore it's very serious. So we're starting to hear about a little bit the jiva, the nature of ourself. Prabhupada's explaining in his purports, you know, the connection with the Lord and the world around us and the karma and everything. And then later he says, janma karma chime divyam evam yaveti tatvadaha taktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorajuna. You know, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take his birth in this material world again, but attains my eternal abode. And then we start to hear about actually there's another world beyond this material world. And so, you know, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, their goal is to merge. They quote that aphorism, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, I am Brahman, which is true, but not the supreme Brahman. And they negate the material world, and they want to merge. So I heard it described like, when you're in the material world, it's like being in the negatives, and then merging into the void or the light or whatever they're trying to merge into, the Brahma Jyoti, is like at zero. And then the devotional service, association with Krishna, associating with Krishna's associates, is the positives. And Srila Prabhupada condemns this idea. That's one big reason why part of his mission, and we say it every day. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine. My obeisances are unto you, servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's preaching the message of Lord Gauranga. Gauravani Pracharine is preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, the voidism and impersonalism. He's Paschacha Desh Tarine. He's delivering the Western countries. And so he's getting these impersonal conceptions out And this is what he does in that, back to that same verse, the first verse, 2:12, Natvevaham Jatu Nasam. Not only is he Krishna, you know, instructing Arjuna in his eternality and Krishna's eternality, but their individuality. And that purport is a great purport for trumping the Mayavad philosophy. Prabhupada just trumps it in that verse. Krishna trumps it in the verse. Prabhupada goes into more detail in the purport. And one reason why is because that philosophy and mentality will inhibit us from being able to enter into the spiritual conception. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan are all transcendental realizations. Pramati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, Iti, Shabjite. To realize Brahman is still considered to be transcendental but incomplete. So if we take this philosophy, then we will be limited. So Krishna is giving so much. And this is actually the point of the pastimes that we're hearing. So this particular verse that we're hearing, the whole purport is talking about Krishna exhibiting his attachment to his family members and associates. And so just like this is what the Mayavadis are missing. You know, you have the material conception and the gross materialists who are attached to family, society, and you have the Mayavadis who are giving up the attachment to that, but they're, Prabhupada said, you know, in the Mayavad conception, the last snare of Maya is thinking I am God. They think I am Brahman. So they're still attached to the enjoyment of renouncing the material world, the bliss of Brahman. But, you know, it's stated that that enjoyment is compared to the water in a hoofprint of a calf, compared to the ocean of transcendental enjoyment that is there in devotional service. And so Krishna is exhibiting his attachment to his associates, and he plays the part of a henpecked husband, someone who's very controlled and absorbed in material enjoyment with their family. But at the same time, he is Bhagavan, one who possesses the six opulences in full: knowledge, strength, fame, beauty, wealth, and renunciation. He's simultaneously completely detached. He's full in his opulence of detachment. So he's displaying his pastimes and enjoying with his relatives and associates, and he's simultaneously detached, and he exhibits this by not being partial. He's not partial, Prabhupada explains, that he reciprocates with everyone accordingly. Yayatamam prapajyante tungstataiva pajamyaham. Yes, he is showing special favor to his pure devotees, and that's natural because they're his devotees. He also reciprocates with them the same as he reciprocates with a demon or an atheist who does not want to develop his love or show any kind of love for Krishna. He reciprocates according to that. But for those who actually turn to him and express their love and develop their love and sincerely try to serve him, he will also reciprocate with that. So his attachment and his display of affection and connection to his associates cannot be compared to ours in the material world. He's not partial. In the material world, one who's very attached to family and friends, they are partial. You know, everyone loves their own family members more than somebody else's. Like, I was thinking, you know, like, the father who loves his son, he's so happy to see his son, please come sit on my lap, you know, I love you, and, you know, so proud of you. And then, you know, you look out the window, and you, oh, here comes that little brat from next door, you know, we gotta tell him to get out of here. You know, the partial. and attached in a very selfish way. This transcendental attachment is not selfish. And this is the point is that I'm getting at, is the Mayavadis are trying to destroy attachment. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and he actually said, you know, we hear that he said, desire is the symptom of the soul. Like, the symptom of the soul is to desire. That's the symptom of life. He said the same thing about attachment. He said you cannot get rid of it. It's the symptom of life, but it needs to be transferred. So we transfer the attachment, and this is why Krishna's pastimes, one reason why Krishna's pastimes are here, for us, for the devotees to relish, for the pleasure of the devotees, and to give the conditioned souls a chance to become attracted or attached to Krishna. The first verse of chapter 7, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Mai Asakta Manaha, Parta. Mai Asakta Manaha. Mai means unto me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, says, unto me, asakta mana. You attach your mind. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Just focus your mind on me. So, in this way, actually, you know, our level of advancement and our ability to relish rests on the level of attachment that we have for serving our spiritual master, serving the devotees, and hearing and Krishna's pastimes and serving the Lord. So I'm going to stop there if there's any comments or questions. Okay, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu said I was talking about different levels of hearing. And maybe say something about that.
Can you say something about different kinds of hearing?
Sure. So, would you like to share any realization on that? You can share. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is when I read Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains the different levels of devotional service. And he explains that there's 9 practical applications of devotional service. And the first one's hearing. And I remember reading something called Karma Mishra Bhakti, which is, Mishra means mix, so it's like fruitive activities mixed with devotional service. I'm attached to what service I do, and I'm attached to the result. I want to specifically just wash the pots for Krishna, and I want it to be clean and stay clean when I'm done, and I want it to be a certain way. I'm attached to what service I do and how it turns out. And then there's the next one that is mentioned is Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti. It's, I'm attached to what service I do, but I'm not so attached to the results. And this is like another level. And then Prabhupada explains that, you know, pure devotional service is Anyabhilashita Shunyam. It's free from personal desire. It's free from attachment. It's free from attachment to the results. And you don't care what service you do. You're just attached to doing service, whatever it may be. And so what I'll say about what you asked particularly of different levels of hearing is to the degree we are attached, especially to fruitive activities, mental speculation is another one. These two things are condemned, and Prabhupada says you have to give these up in order to attain pure devotional service. So, to the degree that we're attached to these different things, the quality of our hearing will vary. If I'm very attached to the results and to something, I'm thinking about that. If I'm not attached, I'm reading Bhagavatam and I'm thinking about what I read in Bhagavatam, and I'm, you know, always thinking about the pastimes of the Lord, thinking about different connections, how this verse connects with that one, or appreciating, you know, the Lord or the devotees. So when I'm attached, I'm thinking about all these other things, and it's the mind is occupied and attached to those things. And then there was another example of, like, if you have a glass of water and you start pouring milk into it, you know, at first the milk and the water mixes, but if you keep pouring, then eventually the water all comes out and you're just left with the milk. And so even if we're not completely pure or detached from things, if we just keep hearing the transcendental sound, then eventually that's what you get filled up with. And then Vaisheshika Prabhu talks about distributing the overflow. You fill yourself up and until it starts flowing out of your mouth. And so, I don't know if that's okay. Thank you. Anything else? Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki gantara srimad bhagavatam ki vanchakopatubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha natakoti vaishnavrindiki.